If I were to ask you, where in the Bible is a beautiful picture of hospitality, where would you turn? If I wanted you to go and point to a Bible character, where would you turn for an image of hospitality? And if I went around the room and asked the question, we might have several different answers. But one that I would imagine is not a common answer would be the Shunammite woman of 2 Kings. So let's look just briefly at a few verses in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says, one day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food, so whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. Now she said to her husband, behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. We're going to stop there. We could go on with the rest of her story. Her actual story is not the point of this lesson. She's blessed by Elisha and by God for her hospitality. But what we could easily see is this is a woman who is given to hospitality. Elisha is making a trip through this area frequently, and he's coming to her house to eat after one time being invited there. And so he's going and he's reclining, and now she is making a provision between her and her husband to have an actual location for him to lodge when he comes in the way. And she's providing in the room for him, and she'll continue to provide food for him. And if we were to look at the Shunammite woman, one of her best characteristics would be hospitality. And in the Bible, it's not making a huge deal out of her hospitality. Yes, she's going to be blessed for this, but it's a part of her nature. It's not something that she needed to be taught. It's something she just did. And what's amazing is when you look through Scripture, hospitality is all throughout the Bible. It's a topic that is discussed time and time again, whether or not the word hospitality is used. I think Marvin for the Psalms, he led, they go very well with this idea. And not a single song has the word hospitality in it, because it means a variety of actions and emotions and involves both Christians and non-Christians, local church members, universal church members. Hospitality is a wide topic. And we kind of tonight just want to do an overview of it from the Bible. I have a few friends that we have a study together every other week. We all live in different areas. Vance, who was here back in the fall, he's one of the four that's on the study with us. And we do this every other week. And for 2022, we've decided to just study through the Bible together. And so on last week's study, we just finished the five first books of the Bible. We got a lot of ground to go if we're going to get the rest of the Bible by the end of the year. But we just finished the book of Deuteronomy last week. Now, in our individual readings, we're into Judges. But in our study portion, we are just finishing Deuteronomy. But you know what's amazing to me is hospitality appears all throughout the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. As God is giving the law to his people, hospitality is part of the law. Let's look at that a little bit. Let's start at Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22, starting in verse 16, you have a discourse that goes all the way through verse 9 of chapter 23, and it's dealing with what we would call today, and your Bible may even caption it, laws about social justice. How you interact between each other and between those that are not a part of your land. And in verse 21 of chapter 22, God starts out this part with saying, you shall not wrong the sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in Egypt. He starts it out by relating to them why they should treat strangers courteously. Why have they left Egypt? Over the way in which they've been treated. What brought them to Egypt in the first place? Over the way in which they've been treated. God made provision through Joseph, even though he'd been sold into slavery by his brothers, to make provision for Israel's family to be cared for. There was a famine coming. And they have sojourned in Egypt in peace for a good little while. Until, as the book of Exodus starts, there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And now the Hebrews have been treated wrongly, and so God rescues his people and brings them out of the land. But God is reminding them before he ever gives them the rules with sojourners, don't oppress them, for you once were one of them. You were just like them. In need, in a land that was not yours, as a stranger. Don't oppress them. He continues on a little bit here, then he'll go to some other items, but you come all the way down to verse 9. This is how he closes it out. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. God presses the step a little further. Not only were you once a sojourner, you understand the feelings of being a sojourner. You understand how it is to be a people not in your own land. You know, if I was to displace, if I had the power, to displace you from your home and move you hundreds of miles away, how would you feel? In a land that wasn't yours, in a house that wasn't yours, wandering, hopefully, back to where it would be yours. Israel knows what it's like to be in the shoes of those who would be passing through their land, passing through their way. And so God's clear about how not to treat them. But he goes further. Let's look now in the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 is a very important chapter in the book. Not elevating it above another, but in chapter 19 you have this emphasis of the Lord being holy, about God being holy, and how you should interact with God, how you should treat God. But then, down in verse 9, a discourse starts on how you treat your neighbors. And your neighbors will not be limited to those of the household of Israel. Notice verse 10. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor, that'd be your neighbor that's in the camp, and for the sojourner, that would be someone not a part of your camp. I am the Lord your God. Whenever God says that through the book of Leviticus, he's reminding them that he is holy. That he is the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt, where they were the sojourner, back from Exodus. And now this is how they act. Don't take away from the needy of your society and from those who are trespassing through. Passing through. You treat them honorably. Drop down to verse 33. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. God has stressed this several times. And if you remember the type of oppression they have been under, it's you don't do what was done to you. Continue verse 34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. God stresses upon them the importance, the reminder of what they were before, and how they are to act. Let me tell you, it's very strong language when you see you treat a stranger as a native, you make them feel welcome. Shunammite woman did that to Elisha. God made provisions for the strangers that were in the land. This is going to be repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 10. We won't turn over there and read it, but if you want to write that down, Deuteronomy 10, verses 18, all the way down through verse 29 is another discourse on this. But I do want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26, this is now talking about the offering of first fruits and tithing. And you come down to verse 12 of chapter 26. And it says, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the year, which is the year of tithing, give it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat with you in your towns and be filled. God made provision for those who were in need and those who were strangers to be cared for. See, when we talk about hospitality, normally we go to the New Testament, which is where we're fixing to go for the rest of this lesson. But hospitality starts all the way back in the Old Testament. It even starts in the book of Genesis when you consider Abraham and Melchizedek, when you consider other situations throughout the book of Genesis. But then you get to Exodus and you see the flip side. Bad hospitality on how Egypt has treated Israel. And now God impresses upon Israel how important it is that they treat those who are strangers. All right, now let's turn to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, down in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer to them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. This is a passage on hospitality. And a passage on caring for each other. And it's a passage about judgment that God is going to pass. That Jesus will pass. Upon those who have treated their brother well. And in doing so treated Christ well. Then you know the rest of this passage. Those who did not feed and did not give something to drink. And did not welcome and did not visit and did not clothe, etc. They're going to be cast out. And the point we want to make about hospitality is, in as much as we do it to others, we're doing it to Christ. Hospitality is kingdom work, my friends. Ever heard that phrase before, kingdom work? Things that are necessary and need to be done that the kingdom might flourish and grow, that the church might be well cared for. Hospitality is part of that. Being welcoming. Taking care of those who are in need. Taking care of those who are strangers. Outsiders. It's part of the work of the kingdom. And it's part of the work of us giving back to God and to Christ what they've done for us. Christ has given us so much. Is a cup of water, a plate of food, too much to ask in return? Sometimes we overcomplicate hospitality. Has to be a certain way, has to look a certain way, has to feel a certain way. It's only for certain people. Let me just say, this is one that I've been guilty of myself. if your hospitality is limited to certain people, it's not hospitality. It's sharing with friends. Hospitality is directed to any who would be in need that you have the ability to help, and would not be particular. It would be to any of them. Because Jesus says, as you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. Sometimes we pick the greatest of them as the ones we'll show hospitality towards. Hospitality, further, as Jesus continues to teach in Luke, is not done for a reward. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12. He said, he also said to the man who'd invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. Here's exactly what I was just talking about. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Hospitality is not because we're seeking to get something out of it. We want the fame or the honor or the glory of being able to provide for someone. And we want them to reciprocate and do the same for us as we've done for them. That's not the mentality we should have behind hospitality. Now, if hospitality teaches us about it, that we can then offer it to someone else, that's a different story. But if we're seeking this idea of almost like a volleyball back and forth, you invite me and I'll invite you, you invite me and I'll invite you, we're just spending time with friends, we're not showing hospitality. We're sharing in fellowship with one another. That's great. But hospitality is opening up to those we might not often do, that we might not often consider. The purpose and the motive behind why we're engaged in hospitality is very important. And if you think about going back to Israel, why were they to be hospitable? Because they had been in need themselves, been strangers themselves. We should be driven to help those who have been in the same space as we've been before. Maybe it's the young family struggling, and you remember how that was. Maybe it's the person who's doubting and you remember how that was. Maybe it's the person that's had major mountain shakes in their faith. Faith shaken moments. And you remember how that was. That's who you show hospitality to. The ones that need it and you can help. Coming to the book of Romans now. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, and really going all the way down through the end of the chapter, you have a passage that some Bibles call it, and it's pretty good summation in my opinion, the marks of a true Christian. The different activities a Christian should be involved in. And it starts out with, let your love be genuine. Verse 9, abhor what's evil, hold fast to what's good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Other translations translate that, be given to hospitality. When you're given to something, it's become your nature. It's just a part of who you are. You help those who need. You give to those who you can. You know, we talked about people are very generous people. When we say that, it's because their characteristics, their demeanor, their attitudes are very generous. They have the idea of putting others before themselves. Being given to hospitality is really, in a sense, doing it without realizing it's hospitality. Doing it just because it's what needs to be done. And what you should be doing. And we as Christians are called upon to be given to doing it. To pursuing to do it. To pressing forward to doing it. And if we as God's people won't do it, who will? Phoebe is a very hospitable person who's given to it in the finishing out this book in chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. Phoebe is remarked as a servant of the church at Synagogue, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever way she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. It's just who Phoebe is. That she has cared for those she could and done for those what she could. That's how we ought to be. That's how we need to be working towards. Is that it just ought to be a part of us. That we're caring where we need to be. And let me say it again. If we won't do it, who will? We who have been in the dark places and understand the blessings of being inside of God, inside of Christ, we should want to share that. To let others experience it. To let others know about it. And part of that's through hospitality. Let me make just a couple more, and then we'll conclude this lesson. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 1, the writer says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you are also in the body." Stop there. Unfortunately, hospitality is a forgotten virtue. The very task the Hebrew writer lays out to not neglect hospitality is something that today is very forgotten. Even amongst the Christians of the South, where Southern hospitality is supposed to be so largely shown everywhere. We have to be careful that we do not neglect hospitality. We'll make excuses for it while we don't participate in it, while we don't do it. We need to be proactive in seeking to do hospitality. When he says there in other translations, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers," it's hospitality. To show hospitality, as ESV puts it. It's a quality that used to be pretty large amongst people. And I think for a large reason of why it's diminishing today in our society. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. We don't want others to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to really talk to strangers. So hospitality is something that's a dying art. And there are some people who it's just very easy for them to be hospitable. Because of their nature, because of their demeanor, because of their attitudes. But for a lot of us, it's work. But it's something we can't neglect, that we can't just allow to vanish. Neglect of hospitality is shown in Jesus' teachings in Luke chapter 16 in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a neglect. of hospitality to be shown. But let me give one more, and it's my favorite on hospitality in the New Testament. And it's 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oftentimes, we can get to a state of where we feel that we are the ones that must show hospitality because no one else will. And what do? We grumble. Or we expect our house to look a certain way, or the food to taste a certain way, and so we grumble when it doesn't. I'm guilty of that. And we just grumble and we complain, and it's almost as if we're upset that we invited someone over. Or maybe your spouse invited someone. They didn't give you enough warning. So what are you going to do as soon as that person's out of the house? They're getting a talking to. There's no rule book on hospitality that says you have to put out your finest china with the table set immaculately, with the bedroom having everything a 5-star hotel must have in it. When the Shunammite woman and her husband built a room for Elisha, it's on the roof with a bed, a table, and a lamp. And before you say, oh, that was back then, we're more advanced today, that was still just pretty simple, wasn't it? A room with a table, a lamp, and a bed. We overcomplicate hospitality. We want our homes and our kitchen tables and the meal to look like something out of a magazine before someone else can see it. And we grumble when it doesn't. I don't like the way my house looks, so I don't let anyone come over. I don't like the way this tastes. I'm not a good cook, so I don't let anyone over. If you're not a good cook, go buy it. It's okay. The important part is to show hospitality. And not to care what it looks like. Not to be concerned with, am I going to get a 5-star review on Google? But that's how we often consider our own hospitality. Is we want it perfect. If we're going to grumble, if we're going to complain about hospitality, let me just offer a free suggestion. Just don't do it. Because your attitude's not right about it. Because if you're grumbling and complaining, you're more concerned about you than the person who's needing the hospitality. Hospitality is a very wide subject. But it's very important to God. Hospitality means a lot to God Almighty. It meant a lot in the Mosaic Law, and it means a lot in the church today. Oftentimes, the best way to convert someone, and I've said this before, Paul said it before, is to have a private study in your own home. If you invite them to the church building, you're inviting them to a place that they don't know, or you may be the only person they know, where there's a crowd of people they don't know, and society has led others to believe that the church is a very judgmental place. And so that's their view of the church before they ever get there. And I don't have a statistic on it, but I'd be safe to say that more than 9 times out of 10, they're not going to come. But if you show a little hospitality, and invite them over to your house, where it's just them and you, that they know, they're much more likely to accept the invitation, and thereby much more likely to have a study, and thereby much more likely to become a Christian. Now, I'm not saying if you go out and invite every one of your friends tomorrow, we're going to have new Christians popping out everywhere. But being given to hospitality is kingdom work. And it is one of the first steps in bringing those that are outside the body of Christ into the body of Christ. I have friends, I mentioned them a few times, that are in other denominations, and we talk about what's going on here, what's going on there, etc. And they all get so shocked whenever I talk about we're going over to someone's house for a singing, or now that I'm hosting a singing, or Bible studies in others' homes, because that's all things that happen at the church building. And the only time they go to someone else's home is when it's just them and their small group of friends. They don't have strangers into their home. People recognize when you're given the hospitality that there's something different. Because most people just don't invite you over. Folks, this is important in how we treat each other, but in how we treat those outside of the body of Christ. If it wasn't, there wouldn't be so many passages about it in the Bible. You know, anytime the Bible says anything, we need to pay attention. But when you have a topic that is constantly revisited through God's law, through Jesus' teaching, through the apostles' teaching, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the inspired men, pay attention. And we need to be involved in doing it. So, are you going to be like the Shunammite woman? Are you going to show hospitality where you can, when you can? Are you content just to do your own thing your own way? Something we all need to consider and we all need to work better at doing. Tonight, if you have need of any assistance, need of coming to the Lord or coming back to Him, whatever your case may be right with God tonight. And if we can help you in any way, won't you let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.